Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. Happy Monday, and I don't even know if we could say it's a happy Monday, but we've got some insanity now that is breaking out, and I'm going to tell you what it's all related to. This is now the effort, you know, think of Greg Jarrett's book, which is coming out. He's going to join us today in studio. Pam Bondi, did you hear what happened to Pam Bondi? In a movie theater about Mr. Rogers, Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Sweater, the guy that said, you know, Mr. Anti-Bullying. What? No, well, we'll get the audio of Mr. Rogers or the audio of Pam Bondi. All right, we're going to get to that. She's going to join us in studio. She was literally surrounded, and they were, like, on the verge of a major assault. You got poor Sarah Huckabee Sanders is thrown out of a restaurant. Now, this is after everything we went through last week. You know, last week we have the granddaughter of the president, Don Jr.'s daughter, is literally threatened by this so-called journalist comedian in Canada. She's next. What is wrong with these people? I just can't. They're talking about Barron Trump, a 12-year-old kid. Oh, we're going to strip him naked, and we're going to send him in a cage with pedophiles. And then maybe Melania will know what a POS that her husband is. Maxine Waters will play it in a minute, screaming at a crowd of supporters. Harass these officials. Harass Trump supporters at restaurants, gas stations, public places, even their own homes. You know, you've got Stephen Miller's phone number is given out. You got Homeland Security, DHS, ICE officials' phone numbers are now being given out. You got Secretary Nielsen is chased out of a Mexican restaurant by protesters, and then they're protesting in front of her home. You know, no rest, no sleep until there's rest or whatever they're chanting. Now, you think back to the, you know, this was the reaction after the election. This was Madonna. Remember the Women's March? This was Madonna saying, I think about blowing up the White House.
And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything, you. But this is the hallmark of revolution. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. Look at the horrible things said at the correspondence dinner against just one person, Sarah Sanders, again. You know, let's not forget Kathy Griffin taking back her apology, you know, putting up a severed head that the then 11-year-old son of the president has to see of the president of the United States. Nicole Wallace over at Conspiracy TV, she's totally gone full Joe Liberal Scarborough and lost her mind completely. And she ought to be embarrassed about herself, asking a reporter, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring Sarah Huckabee Sanders' neck? And if women that work for Trump are dead inside, why? Because they don't agree with her? Because you don't agree with what she thinks? Tommy Lahren cursed out, waters thrown at her? At a restaurant, she's with her family. She's having a bite to eat. Robert De Niro, every chance he gets, screaming F Trump. The latest at the Tony Awards. All of this happening. Let me tell you why this is happening. It happened at the Women's March right after the election and the inauguration because, very simply, they couldn't take it that Donald Trump won. Now why are we seeing this on a daily basis? Why are they so unhinged at this point? What's going on in the world? Well, we have a lot of success. We've got literally the best economy we've had in 14 years. We've got more job availability than we actually have people on the unemployment lines. We've got 14 states with record low unemployment, record low unemployment with Hispanic Americans and with women in the workplace. And Black America is now experiencing its lowest unemployment on record. And then, of course, we've got a lot of progress has been made in terms of the average person is now sees a lot more money in their paycheck because Trump kept his promise and the tax cut went through. And the $2,000 on average per family that Nancy Pelosi refers to as crumbs, you know, well, she actually wants the crumbs back. And then nobody thought the little rocket man would have ever come to the table. Here's another development, by the way, as it relates to North Korea, which I think is actually a really good development if you believe in peace in the world, because North Korea just canceled what is their annual anti-American rally that they've had. It's the first time in years they're going to skip their anti-U.S. imperialism rally. The elaborate rally is typically held on June 27th to mark the beginning of the yearly struggle against U.S. imperialism month. And in past years, North Koreans attended a variety of events designed to build nationalism and commemorate the end of the Korean War, which was in 1953. So you've got the president succeeding on foreign policy more than anybody expected. President makes Jerusalem the capital of Israel. So many presidents promised it, never delivered it. The president said he'd get out of that horrific Iranian deal. The president's built up a good relationship so far with the president of China. That seems to be paying dividends, especially around the Korean Peninsula. The president now has been meeting with all the Arab leaders, the prime minister of Israel numerous times, General al-Sisi of Egypt numerous times, the king of Jordan numerous times, the new Saudi crown prince that says he wants reform. You can actually, if you're a woman, finally drive a car in Saudi Arabia. I know baby steps, but at least it's a movement in the right direction. And they got the economy. Then on top of it, everything that the left had put their hopes into, the great hoax, the great lie that Donald Trump was going to be taken down by Russia. Well, there was an amazing column, and I'd like to welcome the Wall Street Journal into the fold, saying that the IG report has pretty much destroyed all of Mueller's credibility. You know, it took a while. I mean, there was, you know, a long period of months and months and probably a good year that there was me, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Sebastian Gorka, Sidney Powell. You know, there were a few of us. Tom Fitton is one. Jay Sekulow is one. David Schoen is one. You know, Michael Caputo's, he's going to join us later. Cheryl Atkinson, Jeff Lord, Joe DeGeneva, the great one, Mark Levin, Rush. There's a few of us that were getting very early on where this Russia thing was going. But we were kind of alone, isolated, up the tallest tree, out on the tiniest limb, you know, out on a twig hanging by a dead leaf from last spring, you know, reporting things that the media refused to report. The IG report pretty much corroborated all the work that we had been building towards for over a year. And I hate to tell you this, this is only the beginning. There's a lot more to come. And people are going to go to jail over this because it's the biggest abuse of power scandal ever in American history. And my point is, the mechanism by which they were all so hopeful that they're going to get rid of Donald Trump, that's now gone too. They never expected the economy to explode this way. You know, they're now making predictions of over a 4% GDP growth in the second quarter. This country hasn't seen that type of growth in 11 years. That would be an unbelievable achievement and a turnaround by the president. All right, let's go to, you want to know why they're unhinged now? It's just like post Trump victory, post-Trump inauguration. Now Trump succeeding, and their plans to get rid of him are crumbling before their eyes. Let's show you why and what they're saying that makes them so unhinged.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Already, you have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who's saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side. On the side of the children. On the side of what's right. On the side of what's honorable. On the side of understanding that if we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. And so let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd.
And create a crowd.
Them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore.
I dream of blowing up the White House. So there's a trigger here. And the trigger now is twofold. And one, the so-called Russia investigation has collapsed, and there's nothing better than success to make a point that you're right. And the president is succeeding now, all expectations, and he frankly is doing it in a record pace. As soon as he finishes one thing, he moves right on to the other. And so now we're in full 2018 midterm election mode. And the Democrats have nothing to run on. Their entire platform is impeach Trump, but don't tell the American people, lie to them. It's keep Obamacare, keep open borders, and they want their crumbs back. They want to rescind the tax cuts. What else do they have to run on? What are they going to go back and say? Well, we're going to do to America what we did during the Obama years. Are they going to do that? I have to question them. So it's going to be a quiz game. That's an inside thing. Anyway, what are they going to do? I have said over and over again, when Trump succeeds, it is horrible news for the Democratic Party and for liberalism. He has now become an existential threat to everything that they believe in. And everything they believe in has failed. You know, go back. What was 2016 about? The forgotten men and women of this country. And that was about 13 million of them, additional people on food stamps under the 8 years of Obama. 8 million more in poverty. The lowest labor participation rate in, you know, since the 70s. Lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. We never achieved. He's the first president never to achieve 3% GDP growth. The worst recovery since the 40s. Doubled our nation's debt. He once called $9 trillion in debt irresponsible and unpatriotic. He left us with $20 trillion in debt. More debt than every other president accumulated before him combined. They're triggered. Now here's the deal. Somebody's going to get killed here because they're not stopping. They've lost it completely. And you know where the first ever, just watch a second at liberal cable TV. They're all unhinged. This is liberal Joe and Mika and, you know, fake news CNN and fake Jake Tapper and you know, crazy Nicole Wallace. This is who they are now. They wake up every day hating Trump and feigning outrage over his latest tweet. And the American people now just like roll their eyes. They get Trump. And these people don't want to get him because if they do, the underpinning of that is they were wrong about Trump. And they're wrong now, but they can't admit it. And they peddle lies for a year while simultaneously missing the single greatest, biggest corruption, abuse of power scandal in the history of the country. I mean, that's how pathetic they are. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Just now, take this in for a second. And if this were ever conservatives doing what the left is now doing to women and to children, what do you think your mainstream media would be doing and saying? They would rightly collectively lose their minds. Sarah Huckabee thrown out of a restaurant. Then you have Pam Bondi, who's going to join us. She's thrown out of a movie theater and confronted in a movie theater. Secretary Nielsen confronted in a movie theater and at her house. You got, you know, Peter Fonda, you know, hoping that his son could be ripped from his other mother's arms and thrown in a cage with pedophiles. And then talks about what I interpreted ostensibly the rape of Secretary Nielsen. You know, then they're giving out phone numbers of people that work for the president, like Stephen Miller. And then they're giving out phone numbers of ICE agents. And then they're fantasizing about blowing up the White House. Then you've got Ashley Judd in her insanity. Then they're going after a 24-year-old who works at Fox named Tommy Lahren. What, they can't pick on me. At least I can defend myself. Why are you picking on women and children? It's unbelievable. You know, asking, how do you resist, Nicole Wallace asking, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring Sarah Huckabee Sanders' neck? Oh, is that NBC News? And it gets worse from there. It's all happening, and it's not by accident. This is the exact reaction we got right after Trump was elected. Now that Trump's successful on the economy, on foreign policy, and he's even winning the immigration debate in spite of their lies, and the economy's rolling along, and jobs are being created, and record low unemployment all over the place, they can't handle his success and add insult to injury. The cherry on top is the Mueller probe is imploding. And they know it. They've lost. We got more heroes in the Democratic Party. Now we've got Cory Booker. This is interesting. If you thought Maxine Waters was the only dangerous Democrat hell-bent on provoking violence against Trump officials, it's not true. Well, apparently on MSNBC earlier today, Booker endorsed the call from Maxine Waters to menace members of the Trump administration whenever they dare to step foot in public. Now, after bumbling through a long-winded response about radical love and being civil to those that you even disagree with, Booker endorsed Waters' call to action. If I saw an administrator out and about, there's nothing wrong with confronting that person, he said. Oh, imagine if, and I would never, what if I started saying this about, oh, how about go harass this person and that person? I'm not going to do that. Remember, I'm the guy that believes in free speech. I'm the guy that never calls for boycotts. I'm the guy that never says fire this person or that person because I disagree with their views. You know, I've been saying it, now you're seeing it, that Donald Trump's success is to that, it is the worst case scenario for the Democratic Party, because any chance they have of getting back power is contingent upon him failing. Now, they don't care if it's the Mueller witch hunt that takes them down, and nor do they seem to care if it's whatever they've got to do. But we're now in full campaign mode, and that's Republicans are racist, Republicans are sexist and misogynistic and Islamophobic and homophobic and xenophobic and et cetera, et cetera. They want dirty air and water. They want to kill the children. And they want to throw Granny over the cliff. Let me play a little bit of the hate montage that we put together. I'm going to play this a few times today. This is pretty powerful. Let's hit it.
We're oddly influential with a guy who wants to kill us.
And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything, you. But this is the hallmark of revolution. Yes. I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
You know, I had a dream the other night about that I was playing golf with Donald Trump and I was standing beside him with a club in my hand and I was, you know, considering my options when I suddenly woke up. You know, it was one of those dreams where you want to just get back to sleep so you can finish it. you know?
Put Mr. Burgess up against Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up. I need you to go out and talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors. I want you to talk to them whether they're independent or whether they are Republican. I want you to argue with them and get in their face. And
press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets.
Ordinary people who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster.
Oh, Ivanka's going to be our saving grace. You know, when he's about to nuke Finland or something, she's going to walk into the bedroom and, you know,
yeah,
daddy, don't do it, daddy. Yeah.
He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt. He's an idiot. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face.
We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say, I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale.
Hey, that this hoe. Racist ass. Why you even out here? Get that bitch out of here. That bitch.
Trump. It's no longer down with Trump, it's Trump.
Already, you have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Yeah. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Yeah. Who's saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Not welcome anymore, anywhere. And you create a crowd and you confront them. Now, Pam Bondi, I guess her boyfriend was with her. They're calling her the B word. Oh, you're going to let in blue eyes. You're going to let us talk this way to your girlfriend. I saw the interview on Fox and Friends this morning. You're going to let us talk to your girlfriend and call her. What are you going to do about it? You got big guys surrounding Pam Bondi and her boyfriend. And the guard, apparently she has a guard. When he was down parking the car, she's going to a movie theater in Tampa. This is what you need, going to see Mr. Rogers. Now, what are you supposed to do? All I do is train mixed martial arts. I can tear these people literally limb from limb, shred them. The second I put a hand on them, they'll sue me for every penny I have. So what do you do? They've got to touch you first before you can hit back. That's the rule. And you've got to be disciplined. But they're confronting women and they're attacking children. It's Secretary Nielsen. It's Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It's Pam Bondi. They're attacking women. They're literally saying go to their houses, confront them, surround them. What do they think's going to happen here? What do you expect is going to happen? You know, Pam Bondi's boyfriend, he absolutely did the disciplined and right thing. Most people are not going to be that disciplined if you call their girlfriend a B word. They're not. And they're going to punch you in the face hard. And you're going to deserve all of it for being such a jackass, except that would be advocating violence. So in this society, I would never, ever recommend anybody doing that. But they do it to public figures in particular because they know, and I'm sure Pam had discussed with her boyfriend a million times, don't ever fight back. If you do, I'm the attorney general. I'll probably have to arrest you. So what are you going to do? They know they've got a captive audience and their hands are tied. And it's not easy to take a verbal assault when people are purposely trying to provoke a fight. They want you to fight. Look, part of my training, and it's hard, and I train an hour, 15 minutes a day, hour and a half a day. We do all situational training. And it's like if somebody sticks the finger in my face, that's a hostile action. And I'm going to say, get your finger out of my face. And if you touch me, I'm going to break your finger off. I mean, you just say it to him. And you know what? I can do it. Now, what do you do with the guy that can't fight? A lot of people don't want to spend their days and their mornings, you know, getting punched and hitting bags and doing core building like I do. It was funny. We actually aired last week. It was like 5 years ago. A tape of me 5 years ago, and I had no muscle tone. I mean, doing this every day has transformed me into, you know, a real fighter. And we box and we do Krav Maga and Kenpo and Jiu-Jitsu, and that's what I train every day with a guy that is one of the toughest, meanest senseis I think that ever existed. Friday was pain day, last Friday. Means he literally punches me as hard as he can in the stomach till I drop. Then I put out my arms and he just bangs on it like bam, bam, bam. That's what we do. That's how we roll. Here's the problem, though. Most people don't like confrontation. Most people don't, you know, if you're surrounded by four people that are big and they're taunting you and cursing at you, it's not easy emotionally for a lot of people to handle that. So they're going after women. Where's this going to end? It's going to end with some violence against some public figure, someplace, somewhere, and then we'll remember Maxine Waters and Cory Booker suggesting that people show up at restaurants and gas stations and their homes. Are they going to go after somebody's home? Are there children in that house? Are there old people in the house? I thought you liberals had a monopoly of compassion. I thought you were the peaceful ones. I thought you believed in peace. But what's happening is the underbelly of their hatred is now being exposed. And they thought that Robert Mueller was going to pull it off. And they thought that there was a big blue wave coming. So we weren't hearing any of this. They said they never thought the economy would turn this positive this quickly in 500 days. You know, you'd think they'd be happy for America. We have more jobs in America than we have people on unemployment. We have record low unemployment in 14 states. You'd think they'd be happy. Record low. They say, claim to have a monopoly of compassion for Black America, Hispanic Americans, and women. They have record low unemployment numbers for all three of those demographic groups. Little Rocket Man is stopping his anti-American imperialist, you know, shows that he puts on every year because it looks like Little Rocket Man wants a deal. And it looks like having already dismantled one of his nuclear test sites, identified other sites that he had not revealed before, giving back American hostages, stop firing missiles over Japan and destabilizing the entire Korean Peninsula, and agreeing to the terms of what potentially is the total denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. It's all good news. Democrats have four agenda items. One, they want to impeach Trump, but they won't tell you. That's how honest they are. Two, they want their crumbs back. They want the tax cut back so they can waste more of your money. Three, obviously, they want open borders and they don't want to enforce the laws that they passed. And four, they want to keep Obamacare. That's it. Tell me what else they stand for. They want to go back to the Obama era. I gave you the Obama statistics. Maybe I'll give it the rest of this year, too. And I'll be a broken record till every single one of you recognizes the true nature and importance of this midterm election. Understand what this is about. They feel their power that they were so sure of for 2018 is slipping out of their grasp, and it is rendering them unhinged. They're losing their collective minds. There was the Hollywood Reporter. Did you put our answer up? Did you send it to me? On email or text? Okay. So what was I going to say? So they write, so every time I say Hillary Clinton deleted 33,000 emails and acid washed, bleach bit, I usually say the words together, her hard drive, they actually are so stupid at the Hollywood Reporter. They're saying, well, Sean Hannity's lying to you. I'm like, well, why am I lying? Because Sean Hannity's saying something that isn't true. Sean Hannity can't stop repeating one of Trump's biggest lies. Now, here's the thing, because I say acid wash. Well, I'm not talking about acid. I'm talking about bleach bit. It is the exact same thing. So they double down on the parsing of words between bleach bit and then they double down on versus acid washing and they're saying he's lying. Anyway, one of the problems for the Hollywood Reporter is, as we have up on Hannity.com, is everything that I've told you is true. Speaking to the FBI on May 3rd, 2016, redacted, indicated, he believed he had an oh-sh moment, Platts River Network employee, and sometime between March 25th and 31st, 2015, deleted the Clinton archive mailbox from the Platte River's network server and used bleach bit to delete the PST files that he had created on the server containing Clinton's emails. Now we know some were classified and top secret. And by the way, wrote Politico's juiciest bits from the Clinton FBI probe. The Inspector General report released days ago slammed Clinton's intentional use of the software to conceal her emails from investigators, saying her team, quote, used bleach bit to permanently remove Clinton's emails from the server. These included emails that had been transferred from the prior server. And according to FBI documents, former Secretary Clinton's attorneys advised Combetta about the congressional preservation order before they made the deletions. And by the way, I spoke to Andrew Zeim. Andrew Zeim is the founder of Bleach Bit. I asked them exactly about Bleach Bit and acid washing. And he said she took a two-pronged approach to conceal the correspondence. Her aide smashed her mobile devices with a hammer because there's a copy of the emails on the mobile service, mobile device. Then the IT guy ran Bleach Bit on the server. I put the interview up on Hannity.com. I'm going to ask Greg Jarrett about it when we get back. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. This is a lie. I told you the truth. The Hollywood Reporter is lying. Thank God. Now I don't have to go to their stupid, one of the 35 most blah, blah, blah every year. Now I don't have to go. Doing them a favor. They're going to have, you know, Jeff Zucker show up. Good luck. All right, when we come back, a lot to get to. Greg Jarrett, his new book coming out now soon. Michael Caputo coming up. And Pam Bondi assaulted this weekend at a movie theater.
Now, is it the same Peter Strzok who was put on the Mueller special counsel team?
Yes.
All right, same Peter Strzok. And this is not the only time he managed to find the text feature on his phone either. This is the same Peter Strzok who said Trump is an idiot. Hillary should win 100 million to zero. Now, Mr. Inspector General, that one is interesting to me because he's supposed to be investigating her for violations of the Espionage Act at the time he wrote that, in March of 2016. He's supposed to be investigating her for violations of the Espionage Act, and he can't think of a single solitary American that wouldn't vote for her for president. I mean, can you see our skepticism? This senior FBI agent not only had her running, he had her winning 100 million to nothing. So what if they'd found evidence sufficient to indict her? What if they had indicted her? Is this the same Peter? He wasn't part of the interview of Secretary Clinton, was he?
He was present for the interview.
Huh.
I think the overarching point here is that this whole issue has got to come to resolution. At some point, Special Counsel Mueller and his team, I hope, will wrap up the investigation and clear the air one way or the other whether or not there was a collusion with the Russians. This is a cloud that's hanging over the country and certainly hanging over this presidency, and I do hope that happens.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Trey Gowdy, yeah, rightly pointing out everything that we have been asking, questions now that we've had that go back for many, many months. And it's interesting to me, very interesting to me, the Trump critic and, of course, CNN commentator, fake news commentator, James Clapper, is out there saying what he's saying. I think he wants it to end. I think it's wishful thinking, because I suspect that he knows when they get to him and his work and handiwork, if you will, and that of Brennan and others and the unmasking scandal and the spies that were inside the Trump campaign, that it's going to get a little too hot in the kitchen for him, and he probably wants this to go away, which it might eventually now happen. Joining us now, his book is out in next month, early next month. It's called The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. Greg Jarrett is here. You know, I guess the thing that is so amazing, I'm looking right now at the particular chapter where you actually have the text messages between Strzok and Page.
Right.
And Peter Strzok is the lead guy in the Clinton investigation, is there in the interview of Hillary Clinton, is there in the interview of General Flynn. And he's also at the forefront. He's the leader of the Russia investigation that we're now finding started way before the official start date, because we know that Michael Caputo, who's going to join us in the next half hour, that he was approached by a Russian with a felony record through the Yazoo as an FBI informant, and basically saying they had dirt on Hillary Clinton. And then that's how the meeting with Roger Stone took place. But right. Nothing ever happened or came of it.
You know, Peter Strzok is the guy who changed the language of the exoneration statement, which initially found that Hillary Clinton violated the law and committed crimes, grossly negligent. He got on his computer June 6th and changed the words gross negligence to extremely careless. And who was bending over his shoulder, helping him with that language? His mistress, Lisa Page. And then two other people were in the room helping, but they're concealed by the inspector general. And nobody asked the IG, why are you hiding their names? All we know about...
Well, we know about one of them now.
Yes.
What is it, Gladstein?
Yes, but there's several. One is called a lead analyst. The other is called lawyer number one. The other one's lawyer number two. So we're not quite sure which is which.
I hear there may be as many as 25 other agents that are in the same boat as Strzok and Page that also had involvement in a lot of this.
It may be. You know, the interesting thing about the changing of the statement that found that she was guilty and then changed the language is that James Comey was asked about that. And confronted with his initial statement in which he found her grossly negligent. And he said, you know, I don't remember writing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember writing that. How could you not remember the most important part of the entire investigation?
So the Hollywood Reporter had a hit piece out on me today, and apparently they're upset with the use of the word acid wash when I talk about the hard drive. The headline is, Sean Hannity can't stop repeating one of Trump's biggest lies. And then they go through that I said how many times I say acid wash.
Mm-hmm.
I usually say delete, acid wash, bleach pit.
Right.
It's a term. Do you see any difference between using a software program, bleach bit, that is designed to remove all forensics, meaning any ability for anybody to find old emails or anything on a computer? Is there any difference? Would it be an accurate description to say acid washing the hard drive clean?
They are functionally synonymous terms. And if you ask the founder of BleachBit or the designer of it, he'd tell you that.
I've interviewed him. And as a matter of fact, he has told us that.
Yes. So they're identical terms, synonymous. But this is typical media trying to pick apart small things because... And with no difference at all.
But here's how they say it. They don't deny my claim
right.
that it happened. They write, the FBI, in a report released in September 2016, 2 days before Trump's first reference to acid washing, explained what happened. This is their explanation. An unnamed employee of the company that maintained Clinton's private server. They could have added illegal private server.
Mm-hmm.
They could have said the one that was hacked by... you know, at least six foreign entities, including confidential top secret information. They didn't put that in there. Anyway, Platte Rivers Networks, they forgot to comply, forgot.
Yeah, you don't.
With
forget.
A December 14 request from a Clinton aide to delete emails older than 60 days. They forgot to comply then.
Mm-hmm.
And then in late March of 2015, the employee realized the mistake. And sometime between March 25th and 31st, 2015, deleted the Clinton archive mailbox from the server and used BleachBit to delete the exported PST files that he had created on the server system containing Clinton's emails. And then they write, BleachBit sounds like a chemical product, but it's actually a free online deletion service, or as the company puts it, it doesn't matter because at the time they deleted it, it had been subpoenaed.
That's right. And they knew it had been subpoenaed, and they defied a subpoena, and they obstructed justice and should have been charged. Instead, these guys were given immunity in exchange for nothing. What prosecutor gives immunity for free?
That never happens. Just like, look, we actually had Andrew Zeem. He was on this program. Let me play for you what he said to us.
It certainly is a sophisticated device. Of course, a cloth can only wipe fingerprints, but BleachBit can wipe that information. So as Trey Gowdy said, not even God can read it.
Yeah, so in other words, it really works. Your technology, in other words, for example, if I delete on my computer right now a bunch of emails, if I delete a bunch of whatever, it's still on my computer. It would be recoverable by a computer forensic expert, by the FBI, for example. They'd be able to find every single thing I did on my computer if I just deleted it the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way, you're right, doesn't permanently delete information. In the case of email, things are a lot more complicated, and that's why Hillary took a two-pronged approach, right? Her aide smashed her mobile devices with a hammer because there's a copy of the emails on the mobile device, and then the IT guy from Platte River Networks ran BleachBit on the server, and that deletes another copy of the emails that were on the server end.
So this was would BleachBit or the use of BleachBit, if you found out I was under investigation by the FBI, and let's say I called you, you're the founder, you're the lead developer of BleachBit, I call you and I say, Andrew, it's Sean Hannity, the FBI wants to look at my computer, what do you think I ought to do? And you tell me to use BleachBit. And you say, if you really want to hide stuff, you want to erase stuff, BleachBit works. You tell me that, right? And you're confident in your product.
BleachBit can, definitely delete information so that people can't hide it.
Oh, sounds like acid washing to me. I'm sticking with acid wash.
Well, then you called it a program. And I've been with you repeatedly when you have referred to it as a program.
Let's go back to your book. And you put all of the comments of Strzok and Page.
Right.
And then you see that the very same people that... It's obvious Hillary obstructed justice. You have no doubt.
She obstructed justice, and she mishandled classified documents.
And destroyed such.
And destroyed them, yes.
And those are all felonies.
All felonies.
And do you believe, as I do, that the fix was in which struck Page,
totally.
McCabe,
just a
Comey?
Year before Comey cleared Hillary Clinton, he prosecuted Brian Nishimura, a naval reservist, for doing exactly what Hillary Clinton did on a smaller scale. And in the FBI press release, it literally says he did it without intent, and they prosecuted him under gross negligence. How could Comey then a year later say there are no such cases in which a prosecutor has brought such a...
Are there statute of limitations, or could Hillary still be charged for these
she
crimes?
She could still be charged. Not all of them have run, but some have. But
what,
she could
what,
still...
What could she be charged with now?
Well, if you backdate from now all the way to the later classified documents out of 110 of them, some of them have... The statute has not run. So she could be prosecuted on those. But on the early ones, no.
So this guy, Brian
Nishimura.
Nishimura, or in the case Christian Saucier.
He was charged with gross negligence and forced to plead guilty. And he did what Hillary Clinton did. So when Comey stood in front of cameras July 5th and said no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case, his prosecutors and his FBI had brought such a case.
And all of this is in your book.
Sure.
So that is the scheme. It's called the Russian hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary. All right, you explain the clear Hillary part and frame Donald Trump. What's the framing Donald Trump part? Everything that we've seen?
That and a whole lot more. They began the investigation, a criminal investigation, without evidence of a crime, which violates FBI rules. They then decided, let's make it a counterintelligence probe because we know we have no evidence of a crime, and yet they had no intelligence. And Peter Strzok signed the documents on July 31st, officially launching the probe, but the FBI began it long before that, and they were using confidential informants.
Unbelievable. So we have confidential informants. We have Hillary bought and paid for Russian lies that have been debunked, put together by a foreign national.
Right.
Paid through funneled money through a law firm to an op research group to the foreign national.
Right.
To
but
the
she's
Russians.
Not being investigated for using a foreign national. Trump, which didn't use a foreign national through payments, is being investigated.
It's a pretty sick world we're living in.
Oh, it surely is. It's a double standard world. Hillary Clinton can do anything she wants.
That's why we always talk about an equal justice under the law, equal application under our laws. And now if we don't fix it, this is going to end very badly for the country. We'll continue more. Greg Jarrett, his new book, it's out just a couple of weeks now. The Russia Hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton and frame Donald Trump. Guaranteed number one New York Times bestseller.
You can pre-order it on Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
And Hannity.com.
Yes.
And as we continue, Greg Jarrett is in studio with us. The Russia hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton, frame Donald Trump. And I'll be honest, I watched you write the whole book. A lot of people sell books. They don't write it all. You wrote every word yourself.
You know, the tough part of it was all of the footnotes. There are roughly 700 footnotes because
crazy.
I wanted to source everything, and I made the conscious decision, even though I have anonymous sources who are, you know, very well placed and very reliable, I chose not to use them for the book. So everything in that book, all the laws, the case laws, the statutes, all of the facts are in the endnotes. And
you know, I'll just want to give chapter titles because it's sort of like I watched you give birth to all of them and events were happening as you were writing the book.
Correct.
Which is amazing. And then so I'd go in, I'd say, well, you got to alter chapter six now because something had just happened that day.
Right.
But, you know, you first talk about the insidious abuse of power. And this is the heart of our constitutional republic. Are we going to be a country that is based on a rule of law predicated on a constitution? It's either yes or no. We're going to either have equal application of our laws or not. You give the full rundown in a chapter on Hillary's email server, Comey contorting the law to basically rig the investigation, how the fix is in there. You do have one chapter on Clinton greed and Uranium One, which we're going to get back to eventually.
Right.
Then you talk about the fraudulent case against Donald Trump, the fabricated dossier used against Trump, the government abuse of surveillance, and of course, FISA. Meeting with Russians is not a crime, which nobody wants to hear. And then, of course, firing Flynn, Sessions' recusal, and obstruction of justice, and the illegitimate appointment of Mueller. It's a full, comprehensive, I'm going to call this the Bible for those of us that care about the biggest abuse of power scandal in our history. We will refer to this book for years to come.
I think it is a thorough and complete examination to date of all of the evidence that the FBI decided for political reasons to absolve Hillary Clinton in the face of obvious, clear-cut crimes. And then, on the very day that Hillary Clinton was cleared, the FBI first met with the British spy who had compiled this completely laughable, phony dossier.
And they never told four FISA court judges the truth.
That's right.
They never verified, and it turned out to be false information.
Even Comey himself says it's unverified.
Unverified.
And the only reference—
And it was the bulk of application.
That's right. The only reference they make to it is buried in two footnotes, and you would have to be able—you'd have to be clairvoyant to discern what it meant. So the FISA judges were left in the dark.
It's called The Russia Hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton and frame Donald Trump. It's just a couple of weeks now from its debut. Greg Jarrett has been all over this. It will be a book we refer to a lot as people get indicted in the next year to come. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Michael Caputo. Well, it appears that an FBI informant tried to set him and Roger Stone up, according to their story. They'll tell us all about it next.
Michael Caputo contacted me, and he said that he had been contacted by a man using an alias, as it turns out, Henry Greenberg, who had information that he said would be of great value to the Trump campaign. And Henry Greenberg turns out to be an FBI informant of Russian descent who's been admitted to the country 9 times on informant visas, who is a violent felon who otherwise could not be in the country. And then he tries to entrap me. But he gives away the game when he says he wants $2 million for negative information on Hillary. When I tell him I don't have $2 million, he says it's not your money I want. It's Donald Trump's money. I think it was an FBI plant seeking to entrap me and to compromise Trump.
Michael Caputo set up the meeting for Roger Stone. Both of them were interviewed in the summer and fall of 2017. They were interviewed a long time after we first requested to interview with them, meaning that a letter was sent to both of them. It laid out the scope of what we wanted to talk to them about, which was primarily Russian contacts that they had. And they had a long time to prepare with their lawyers. They both came in with lawyers. So based on my experience of examining witnesses, I concluded that they had prepared and they knew what we were going to ask. And so to say that there was a failure of memory by both individuals to recall this meeting, I just don't buy it. I think they just lied through their teeth to protect the fact that they were willing and eager to take a meeting with Russians who were offering dirt.
Do you think that Roger Stone perjured himself in his testimony, or Michael Caputo?
Except when you are testifying in this Republican-led House Intelligence Committee, which will not turn over the transcripts to Bob Mueller or to the public. So they are shielded by Republicans who will not allow Mueller's team to see the transcripts.
Has Mueller asked for that testimony?
You know, I can't go into that. I can just tell you that we have requested, Mr. Schiff has requested to Devin Nunes that we be able to send over to special counsel some of the crimes that we believe were committed through failure to recall or just straight out, you know, deception that we saw. And the Nunes team has refused to cooperate with us on that and at least send him over to Mueller. I do believe that they're, that both Caputo and Stone, that special counsel should be able to look at that for perjury.
All right, there you have, well, predictable Democratic. Let's continue the fishing expedition no matter how far it goes and how deep it's found. Listening to what Roger Stone and Michael Caputo both said, there was no there. You know, this is a dirty little secret fact, and that is that Democrats, they take meetings all the time when it's about op research on their opponents. It is standard operating procedure. You mean to say that if somebody calls over to a Senate campaign or somebody calls over to a congressional campaign, oh, I've got all the dirt on your opponents, you're not going to sit and listen as long as nothing happened? And by the way, it's not illegal, especially if it would be the truth. In the case of everything that was presented before the FISA court judge, remember, that was all bought and paid for lies. Anyway, Michael Caputo is with us, Republican strategist. He's been targeted by the left for his associations with the president. You know, one of the scariest things you said to me is after you had a meeting with, I guess, Mueller's team, you came out of the meeting, but the last thing they said to you, and we will be watching, meaning, you know, how did you interpret it? Because I know how I interpret it.
It was a very chilling statement. Thanks for having me on, by the way, Sean. When the prosecutor said that to me, he said, you know, Mr. Caputo, we know that you're having problems paying for your legal fees. You know, that's why we agreed to pay for your airplane fare and your hotel for this interview. But we're watching you on television. We want to make sure you know that. It was very easy math for me to understand that 2 + 2 = 4, and that was them telling me, watch what you say. And, you know, up until that point, Sean, I was really concerned about being brought in because, as you know, I was up to over $100,000 in legal fees, and I live in a little village outside of Buffalo, New York. I don't make Washington or New York City money. My wife and I were very concerned about how we were going to pay our legal fees. But, you know, after these meetings with Mueller, our GoFundMe ended up raising enough money to pay for our legal fees and more. And I'm not really concerned about the fact that they're listening to your show right now and taking notes on what I'm saying, because I know a fact that I was approached via telephone while I was in Trump Tower by an FBI informant, someone who attested under oath himself that he was an FBI informant for 17 years. And I know that that actually shifts the timeline from July to May, 2 months.
This is important. When you say shift the timeline, meaning the beginnings of the Russia investigation.
Right, exactly.
This guy that's a felon and an FBI informant, it turns out he's an FBI informant. You didn't know it at the time, did you?
No, I didn't. He called me up on the telephone, said his name was Henry Greenberg. That doesn't really raise to mind any particular, you know, Russian fascination. And at the time, as you remember, in May of 2016, nobody was even talking about Russia. It wasn't part of the Democrat mantra yet. And Hillary Clinton had yet to distribute her first press release accusing Russian contacts within the Trump campaign. Our antenna weren't even up. But I'll tell you, after I really, you know, when they asked me, were you approached by any Russians with any information about Hillary, I disclosed this Greenberg contact. His name, he claimed to be named Henry Greenberg. He's actually got.
You disclosed it in the beginning.
Absolutely.
When did he first approach you?
In late May 2016 via telephone.
So this is way before the Papadopoulos Downer meeting, and then of course Peter Strzok and company, the lead investigator, flying to London and working through diplomatic channels to get the approval to interview the diplomat from Australia, Downer, a guy who also donated $25 million to the Clinton Foundation. Correct.
Correct. And there's all this activity going on in May, and the Department of Justice says our full investigation started in July. But here's the important part, and I learned this from Mark Wauk, who was a retired FBI agent, and a piece he wrote for American Thinker called A Guide to Spygate. Just came out, I think, on Friday. You know, they're telling the truth. The full investigation started in July. But according to FBI parlance, a full investigation must be predicated by a preliminary investigation. And the preliminary investigation must be predicated by an official assessment. All three are investigations. And, Sean, in all three of those phases, they can use FBI informants. So they've been carefully using their language when they talk about when the investigation began. What they're going to admit to now with these documents, they're so shy about with Congress, these documents are going to show that the preliminary investigation was going on in May, and they were sending FBI informants to me and Roger Stone and Papadopoulos and others.
It's pretty unbelievable. All right, so this guy approaches you, and he said he wanted to meet Roger?
He approached my business partner at an art exhibition our company was sponsoring.
When you met him, did you think he had a Russian accent?
I met him on the telephone only, and I initially thought he had a Russian accent or an Israeli accent. I knew he wasn't, you know, I assumed, as I told the Mueller people, that he was an American citizen of Russian origin, and that really set them off at my Mueller interview. They said, he's not an American citizen, he's a Russian citizen. And I thought, how do you know this guy? And so I hired, because of the funding through my GoFundMe fundraising, I was able to hire private investigators in the United States and Russia. And while we were, you know, running this private investigation, we discovered absolute, incontrovertible, irrefutable proof that he was an FBI informant for 17 years. In fact, he filed a 2015 document, signed affidavit under oath, swearing that he was an FBI informant for 17 years. He did that in 2015. And in that document, Sean, he showed the paperwork behind every single one of his FBI informant visas. So he's only here on FBI informant visas, and that's why he's still here today.
Unbelievable. Now, the issue, and this is a guy that committed violent crimes, isn't it?
No doubt. He was arrested in Los Angeles for assault with a deadly weapon, a gun crime, and the FBI deported him in 2000.
But then they brought him back at least nine times, right?
They brought him back from Russian prison. He was found guilty when they threw him in, when they deported him to Russia. The FBI told the Russian authorities that he was coming under a new name, and this is a man you have a warrant on. It. The Russians arrested him after he got back and put him in prison, and he disappeared and reappeared in the United States working for the FBI. This is all, you can see all of this at democratdossier.org. That's the results of our entire private investigation, democratdossier.org. This man, it's not whether, it's unquestionable that he's an FBI informant. The question is, was he on lunch break when he decided to meet with Roger Stone? Did he take his own time and do that?
No, he was doing it on behalf of the FBI, obviously, right? And so that puts
no doubt
that puts their number one, it puts another spy inside the Trump campaign. And except this spy is actively seeking out with no reason to a type of investigation. Obviously, it had to be signed off by high ranking people in the FBI and DOJ. And almost, it sounds like a trap to me. Sounds like you guys were set up to me.
We were, I believe, as well. Roger and I are certain of it. We believe that the House Republicans are going to find out what kind of visa he was on. But the more I've learned about this from my investigators and others, and from Mark Wauk's article in American Thinker, you know, he was given what they call an S visa, which is the FBI informant visa. They call it a public benefit visa, which can be done fairly quickly. And I understand now that the Russian lawyer who met with Don Jr., Veselnitskaya, she also got an FBI informant visa to come in the country to do the meeting in Trump Tower. Isn't that amazing?
It's unbelievable. I mean, the whole thing.
I mean, it's coming apart at the seams.
All right, hang in there 1 second. Michael Caputo is with. How many times have you been to Robert Mueller's office for, you know, little coffee chats?
Well, just once, but I think I'm going to get frequent flyer miles out of this one, I think.
Oh, you
now
think
you've revealed this?
You think you're going back again?
Well, you know, I don't think you can out an FBI informant without having some consequences, but I'm really not all that worried because I found out that Trump supporters are they're behind me.
Well, you were going to lose your house, and I guess you put a GoFundMe page up and people saved your house from having to be sold, right?
They did. And by the way, Sean, without their funding, I wouldn't have been able to find out this guy is an FBI informant. The MAGA people, the people who
they found it out?
The United States.
Wow.
They found it out.
All right, stay there, Michael Caputo, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. All right, as we continue, Michael Caputo is with us. I've got to imagine, and I can't imagine, is that when you have Robert Mueller and his team, Andrew Weissman is pit bull, and he appoints Jeannie Rae, who once worked with the Clinton Foundation, knowing the extent to which they have been willing to go to pretty much, you know, get anything they possibly can on Trump, or listening to Judge Ellis say, yeah, the only reason you're going back to a 2005 tax case of Paul Manafort having nothing to do with Russia is because you want to put the screws to him and you want to make him sing and you want to make him perhaps even compose. And that means that's all for really getting Donald Trump so you can prosecute him or impeach him. Do you agree with the judge's statement there?
I do. I just wish that would drive the judge's decision. Unfortunately, I'm hopeful that it'll help him, you know, develop his perspective on what's happening with Paul. But you know, it appears to me the Department of Justice and our whole judicial system has been weaponized against those people who were trying to elect the president of the United States. I think that's what it's all about. They're out to destroy the president, destroy his family, destroy his businesses, and destroy those of us who count him as a friend, so that no billionaire ever stands up again and says, hey, you know, honey, my country screwed up and I can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That'll never happen again.
It's really scary when you have the power of the government using these tools as they are and literally now setting up innocent people, apparently, for no reason. Did you ever go to Russia before in your life?
Oh, of course. I mean, that's why I was in the jackpot here, because I lived in Russia for 7 years.
Why did you live in Russia?
I lived there in the 90s. I was sent there by the Clinton administration to mm-hmm. meddle in their election. And,
oh, wait a minute. I thought we didn't do that. I thought that was wrong.
I know. It's funny. But, you know, I worked there with the Republican Institute and the Democratic Institute,
yeah.
You know, to try and work in elections there. You know, I married a Russian. You know, I have a Russian daughter. Many of my friends are Russian. You know, one thing I see in each one of these hearings, Sean, is abject McCarthyism. And it's so strange to me to see the people who were out defending the Soviet Union for a generation are now pointing at every Russian. By the way, the Russians who live here in America want to be here in America.
I got to run, but
it's like living under Putin.
It's interesting, you know, for people to understand how people's lives are turned upside down and altered because of this obsession of getting Trump. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue on the other side. News roundup, information overload. Pam Bondi, literally thrown out of a restaurant or out of a movie herself. She'll join us and tell her story straight ahead. All right. News roundup, information overload hour. Sean Hannity Show. Toll-free number is 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. All right. The liberal vitriol and hatred now. Well, Maxine Waters completely unhinged. She wants people, you know, stalked at their houses in public places. No peace, no sleep. I don't even know what that means, but she wants people followed at their house in public places. She wants them confronted. We saw what happened with Sarah Huckabee, of course, the other day. And then we saw what happened. Peter Fonda threatening the child, the 12-year-old of Melania and President Trump. And it gets worse than that. Now we have Pam Bondi can't even go watch a movie, for crying out loud. Maxine Waters telling people confront them at restaurants, gas stations, public places, even their own homes. We saw what happened to the Secretary Nielsen, and she got chased out of a restaurant. They chase her down at her house. Then, of course, Tommy Lahren gets water thrown on her. Then you got MSNBC hosts asking, you know, if women are dead inside, and whether or not, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring Sarah Huckabee Sanders' neck? I mean, it is creating nothing but an atmosphere of hatred and violence. And guess what's going to happen? Something is going to happen. And when it does, you'll see a correlation with this rhetoric and what actually happens. Let's play the montage.
We're oddly influential with a guy who wants to kill us.
And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything, F you. But this is the hallmark of revolution. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
You know, I had a dream the other night about that I was playing golf with Donald Trump, and I was standing beside him with a club in my hand, and I was, you know, considering my options when I suddenly woke up. You know, it was one of those dreams where you want to just get back to sleep so you can finish it, you know?
Put Mr. Burgess up against Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up. I need you to go out and talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors. I want you to talk to them whether they're independent or whether they are Republican. I want you to argue with them and get in their face. And
press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets.
Ordinary people who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster.
Oh, Ivanka's going to be our saving grace. You know, when he's about to nuke Finland or something, she's going to walk into the bedroom and, you know,
yeah,
daddy, don't do it, daddy. Yeah.
He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt. He's an idiot. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face.
We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say, I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale.
Hey, this hoe, racist ass. Why are you even out here? Get that out of here.
Trump. It's no longer down with Trump, it's Trump.
Already, you have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Yeah. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Yeah. Who's saying no peace, no sleep. Yeah. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side. And if if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
All right, joining us now, she's the Attorney General of the great state of Florida. When are, your term is coming to an end, right?
I am. I'm out of a job January 2019. The liberals will be happy, right?
No, I think actually you might take on a bigger role somewhere else if my gut tells me. Well, I would think you're a natural selection, maybe. You've gotten along with the president. You've been friends with the president a long time.
I adore the president
and
his family.
Have you guys ever talked about maybe you joining the administration?
I'm not going to talk about that.
You're not going to tell me anything. All right. I felt really bad. So I guess there's a movie out about Mr. Rogers.
A documentary about Mr. Rogers. And Sean, he practiced tolerance. He was ahead of his time. Anti-bullying?
I was never the big Mr. Rogers fan.
Anti-bullying?
There's nobody in the world as nice, kind, and sweet as Mr. Rogers. And I'm like, all right, that's a little too syrupy sweet for me. I mean, at least cartoons like Tom and Jerry had real-life violence in it, or The Roadrunner.
I did like Roadrunner, but it was kind of cool though because he was ahead of his time.
He was a nice man.
Bullying is a big deal for me now with these school kids,
right?
And he was anti-bullying back in the '60s. I mean, crazy, you know, before that was even a word, and all the other things he did about you can have differences but be tolerant. So I find it very ironic that, you know, I chose to be accosted in a Mr. Rogers documentary.
All right, so let's go through what happened. I mean, you have security as a highly elected official in Florida. What happened?
You know, and I think, frankly, I was getting a bit complacent. Pulled up. There was a line outside. And so my trooper, who's wonderful, I just said, oh, just park the car and we'll jump out and grab the tickets, waiting in line. You know, families out there.
Right.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a woman walks up to me and says, you're Pam Bondi. I'd like to talk to you. And I said, sure, hi. And she said, you know, I knew right off it wasn't going to be pleasant, though. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to have a dialogue with her. And she said, you're ripping babies out of the hands of mothers.
Oh, my God.
And I said, OK. So there are two big guys, like really big, or three next to her. You know, I didn't even make eye contact with them because they were so big. And I'm looking
at her. Meanwhile, you're a security guard. And
he was parking.
He's parking the
and
car.
And it's not his fault. It was mine. I got out and said, hey, we're fine. We're in line at a movie, you know.
I have been in crowds with you, and everybody, 90% of the people of Florida love you. But
Thank you. So
how fast did he get there?
I tried to have a dialogue with her, and I said, well, I'm glad you're filming this. I'm glad you're taping this, because let me tell you, I'm not in favor of those mothers being separated from their children, and I'm glad the president signed an order correcting that. And I said, this is the thing that Congress needs to act on. She didn't even know who her congressman was. So that's when basically all heck broke loose, and these big guys, because they knew they had lost, and so they've never shown that video, they just laid into me, F you, at the top of their lungs. And so try being the person with me, you know, they're in his face saying, calling him the P word, you know, come on, aren't you going to protect her? Come on, come on, come on. They wanted him.
They wanted him to move. Yeah.
They wanted him to hit them so he could be on the front page of the paper the next day.
Right.
And so I'm trying to calm him down, saying, this is what they want. This is what they want. This is what they want.
The rule is they can't touch you. The minute they put their hands on you, then you have a right to defend yourself.
They were probably 6 inches away from my face at that point, but they were trying to get him to protect me.
These are big guys, and they really think they're so tough that they're literally trying to physically confront a woman.
Mm-hmm. Now, it gets worse.
I'm listening.
It gets worse. Okay. So, you know, they're having it out with him. So a gentleman and his wife, like an older gentleman, and if he's listening, thank you, walked up and said, hey, it's Friday night. Come on, come on. And they got in his face, and his wife pulled him away. I mean, people were frightened. Mm. And it was an interesting. So go buy the tickets, ignored him, tried to walk through the vestibule. It was at Tampa Theater, an old theater. Right. Tried to walk through. And then that's when they surrounded me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then
how many people were there then?
I think three guys, only three at that point, I think, because they were around. They blocked me from walking in.
Right.
And I don't know if the woman was with them or not. So then my trooper came and start, you know, I thought it was over. So we went in and waited in the concession stand.
Right.
And, you know, and waited in line. And so then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I think my trooper thought it was over. And he had thought we had walked into the theater, I believe. Mm-hmm. So he walks and they, that, this is when it got really ugly. They come up out of nowhere, and he was super tall, this guy, and then the other one, they were big, and the, you can clearly see him on the later video.
Yeah, I've seen the video. We'll show it tonight.
So screaming in my head, spit on me. Now, I couldn't prove, and I'm very fair.
By the way, that's assault.
Well, it is, but he was yelling, and like he was yelling so hard my hair was blowing, so I couldn't tell if it was an intentional spit. So we ordered the video from the theater and they didn't have video. So, you know, and I, you know, frankly, they assaulted me when they surrounded me. Mm-hmm. But Sean, that's what they wanted.
Is there any law, though, you're not allowed to intimidate and harass people this much?
They
or do you have to file an order of protection?
They can yell and scream, but if they come near me again, we've identified the three of them now, I will get a restraining order. So go in the movie. After the movie, by then there were four marked units there, and they said, we're going to take you out the back way. And I said, oh, no, you're not.
Right. You went out the front way.
I'm walking out the way I walked in. And then that's the video you saw posted.
Well, good for you. I mean, it really bothers me. As I've always felt like, all right, if you want to pick on me, I'm game. I put myself in this arena. But you're going to pick on children. Barron Trump, we're going to pick on a 12-year-old
kid. Right.
Who can't defend themselves.
Right.
You know what? You come up to me.
Well, when I was a prosecutor, I got robbed by two gang members on a bike. Yeah. Not only did I get my purse back, I got their bike. But I can't do that anymore now that I'm elected.
Well, listen, there's nothing that anyone would like for me to throw the first punch because then they think they're going to be rich. But I'm prepared for them. C.L. Bryant is with us, the pastor and a conservative. And, you know, I know when you wrote and created the film, The Runaway Slave, you took a lot of heat also. What's going on in society, sir?
Everything is good, Sean, and thank you so much with me, but thank you so much for having me on, because what happened to Attorney General Bundy should have never happened. And Maxine Waters does not care anything about the children at the border. In fact, America has done those young people a favor by taking them in, feeding them, giving them medication, and protecting them from people who have placed them.
But I want to stay focused. But jeopardy. Now they're going after women and children. Now they're actually saying, meet them in restaurants, meet them in their homes, meet them in gas stations, confront them the way the attorney general was confronted. That has to stop. But stay right there. We'll take a break. One thing Pam Bondi could tell you and tell you about is the need to protect your identity. You know, 1 in 4 now, and you know this because you're the AG of Florida, 1 in 4 people will be victims of identity theft.
Yes.
And a lot of old people, retired people in Florida, I'm sure you get a call at least how many a day?
And I have some tips on that for you.
All right, as we continue with Pastor C.L. Bryant, Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of Florida, she was literally surrounded, screamed at, somebody speaking, spitting, if you will, in her face. And this is happening to all these women now.
It is. And Sean, when that video, the aftermath video, which was tame compared to what they did, came out, a state senator, Dana Young, contacted me and said, whoa, this happened to me. And that's the same guy that did it to me.
Do you think this is
going to
lead to violence? Is this rhetoric now going to lead? I'm getting very nervous now.
Absolutely. And then a state rep, Jackie Toledo, was at a coffee shop with her little kids. Same thing, screaming at her. I don't know all the details, screaming in her face. But I do. Sean, those people that accosted me, the violence in their eyes, the person I was with said the same thing. Never seen anything like it. If they had had a weapon, they would have used it on me. I have no doubt.
Pastor, why are things so heated up right now?
There is a design, Sean, to unravel the fundamental principles of our nation, and they're turning it into a racial football, even with the Central Americans that are coming up here. And that is what we have to pay attention to. It's the fundamental unraveling of...
Why are they attacking young kids? Why are they attacking Melania, Ivanka, Secretary Nielsen, Pam Bondi, Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Why are they going after, you know, these people? Why are they going after women? Tommy Lahren gets hit with water. An attack. She goes out, you know, she does Man on the Street for Hannity, the TV show, and you know, these people are, you know, not only the vile things they say, but the advocation of violence in a lot of instances.
They have nothing else but to create the chaos. Donald Trump has surprised every one of them in being as successful as he has been. And so this type of vitriol has to be launched. I deal with that in the book you endorse.
Yes, sir.
Race for Freedom.
So what do you do next, Pam?
Well, you know, I want to call on Americans I want to call on Maxine Waters to back off what she said and say, you know, you want to protest, protest, but do it with tolerance and dignity and civility.
All right. Pam Bondi will be on Hannity tonight. We've got the video. We'll show you. We'll also chronicle all of the insanity that is now unfolding before our eyes, all because they lost. That's what it all comes down to. And their little Russia investigation failed also. All right. And don't forget C.L. Bryan. Thank you, sir. And by the way, The Race for Freedom and Runaway Slave are some of his work, and you can always get it at his website. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll continue straight ahead. All right, 25 to the top of the hour. Toll-free on numbers 800-941-SHAWN. Well, if you think you're alone, I mean, in understanding the level of vitriol and hatred towards all things Donald Trump, any supporter of Donald Trump, think again. You know, if it wasn't bad enough that you've got actor Peter Fonda wanting to strip a 12-year-old kid down and put him in a cage with pedophiles. If you think a, you know, oh, your daughter's next, your 4-year-old daughter. If you think it's not been bad enough going after Ivanka Trump the way they do, or now not only chase Secretary Nielsen out of a restaurant, but now they're literally showing up at her home. You know, people that work in public service have families, too. And Maxine Waters and her statement, oh, you know, we're going to continue this aspect of it.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Already, you have members of your cabinet that are being booed out of restaurants. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Protesters taking up at their house. He's saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side. On the side of the children. On the side of what's right. On the side of what's honorable, on the side of understanding that if we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. And so let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore.
You're not welcome anymore if you're conservative. You're not welcome anymore if you're not a liberal like Maxine Waters. Really? Sarah Huckabee Sanders, nicest person in the world. Maybe you don't like her politics. Couldn't be nicer to everybody she meets. Now she can't go to whatever the red hen is. What's the red? Thrown out of a restaurant. You know, the owner standing by it. No liberals standing up for her and defending her. And, you know, really, what about the threats against Don Jr.'s 4-year-old daughter, the president's granddaughter? You know, Peter Fonda, as bad as he is, you know, talk, what's next? Cousins and in-laws? What's next? We're going to go to their houses, their gas stations. You know where this is going to end, don't you? You know what this is doing? This is encouraging violence. I make my living. I'm very careful. I'm very careful. If God forbid something happens here and somebody is hurt in all of this, you got it. You know, how many times have conservatives over the years been blamed for things that they have nothing to do with? Bill Clinton blaming talk radio for the Oklahoma City bombing is a classic example. You know, I don't know, liberals were blamed for Ted Kaczynski and the acts that he committed over the years, and he had Al Gore's book, Earth in the Balance, on his bookshelf.
When I became president, it's hard to remember this, there were only 50 sites on the World Wide Web. There have been more added than that since I've been talking. But it exploded in my first term, and it's continued to explode ever since. And among those who first saw its potential and made use of it were those who used the internet to do all kinds of interesting things, including share information on how to make bombs. We didn't have blog sites back then, so the instrument of carrying this forward were basically the White Ring radio talk show hosts. And they understood clearly that emotion was more powerful than reason most of the time. And it happened that they got much bigger listenership and more advertisers and more commercial success if they kept people in the white heat. For 99% of them, it was just that. Turn on the radio, listen to somebody say something you agree with, vent your anger, go on with your life and make the best of it. But it shaped the environment in which we were in.
Well, now we've got the Attorney General of Florida. She can't even go watch a movie with her friends. And I guess there's a Mr. Rogers movie out. She's trying to watch the movie. Well, that didn't work out either. As she needed a police escort. Why would Mr. Rogers? Who cares what Mr. Rogers thinks about anybody? You know, or the multiple comparisons of Donald Trump as Adolf Hitler. Then you got Meathead Rob Reiner and his wife liking Trump to evil and evil to Hitler, and all his supporters are hardcore racist. I mean, this is now what they are doing. This is now how the left is acting. This is their temper tantrum. And as we see every 2 and 4 years, then it becomes and it's becoming the predictable playbook. Democrats aren't going to run on what their real agenda is. They're not going to go out and tell people in their speeches in town halls what the truth is. They want to impeach the president, but shh, don't tell anybody. But just we're going to do it. Just shh, don't talk about it.
Impeach 45.
Exactly.
Say,
Maxine, you got to stop. You can't say it. What are their intentions? They want to keep Obamacare. What are their intentions is that they want open borders. They want their crumbs back vis-a-vis the tax cuts. Their crumbs, they're angry you got crumbs. They want the crumbs back. Just listen to some of this hatred, some of this vitriol. And I could make it a lot longer, but we don't have enough time. Listen to this.
People who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster.
He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bull artist, a mutt. He's an idiot. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face.
We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say, I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale.
Hey, this hoe. Racist ass. Why are you even out here? Get that bitch out of here.
Trump. It's no longer down with Trump, it's Trump.
Already, you have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Yeah. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who's saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're gonna win this battle. God is on our side. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
No, that's your America today. That's it. That's the left wing of America today. You know, look at all the other examples. Not only is it Pam Bondi and Sarah Huckabee, not only is it Barron Trump, not only is it President Trump's 4-year-old granddaughter, you know, not only is it Kristen Nielsen, you know, you've got Melania Trump. Not only is it just Stephen Miller's phone number given out. Now you have ICE phone numbers given out. You know, then we've got, you know, Robert De Niro screaming F Trump anywhere he basically can, threatening violence from Madonna to Ashley Judd, you know, and straight on down. Tommy Lahren is cursed out and water thrown all over Tommy Lahren. You got MSNBC conspiracy host Nicole Wallace. How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring Sarah Huckabee Sanders' neck? Okay, Kathy Griffin and the severed head of the president, not apologizing for that. All the vicious and vile attacks at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Let me tell you something. You ought to take this. We better stand back here, because these words are going to set off actions, and it's that violent. In the end, you have to blame the person responsible, but there's no doubt that their unhinged derangement syndrome is now a viral infection. They want everybody infected with this virus of hatred that they have. All right, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Donna is in Maryland. Donna, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Hello, Sean. You know, I was thinking while you were speaking, the radical left often uses emotion versus logic, and you see that with their manipulating and controlling people, and they do it by demonizing, isolating, and humiliating them. So, you know, on our side, we have to tread lightly, obviously, but, you know, we have a country to save. So we have to draw the line with common sense, reasonability, and emphasis on the word law.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean, making terroristic threats against the First Family, it's obvious that's a crime.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was stupid.
All you have to do, you don't have to go back very far to realize what would happen if, in fact, this was the Obamas or the Clintons. We already know of Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton tried to blame the Oklahoma City bombing on talk radio. It was an insane comparison at the time, but echoed by many at the left. Let's go to Warren in New York. Thank you, Donna. What's up, Warren? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Sean? I got to break your momentum a little bit and go back to a different subject.
It's okay. What's up?
In the beginning, you kind of were giving Jeff Sessions a pass, and I think you kind of clamped down a little bit on him a little bit more. But we all know that he's the mole in there. But what about these FISA court judges? You keep saying, you know, if I was a FISA court judge, I'd be pissed off if I was lied to. Those FISA court judges haven't been lied to. They've been lying to us. We all know it. Those FISA court judges are a part of this whole thing from start to finish, just like Comey, McCabe, Lynch, all of them.
Yep. Well, look, I'm not giving anybody a pass here. Jeff Sessions, but for Jeff Sessions' idiotic recusal based on the wrong law, it turns out, where we are today. But we also have a deep state that deeply hates the president. All the evidence is in, and it's irrefutable that Hillary Clinton committed crimes and that they put the fix in. And they didn't treat her the way they treat every other American. And that is equal justice, equal application of our laws. And that also means then they set out to destroy a president. Now, it's all crumbling. The House of Cards, as I predicted, is coming crumbling down. Our work is nowhere near done, because now we've got the hard work of who did what crime was committed, and ensuring that justice is served properly. So we got a long way to go here, and I'm not going to let up, and I'm not giving up, and we're not going to stop exposing this. So anyway, thank you. 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. Laura is in Illinois. Laura, how are you? We're glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Monday is not the happiest day. Friday is a little bit happier,
well,
but, you know.
Every day's a happy day as long as you're alive.
No, that's true. You have a better perspective than I do. I agree.
You know what? First, I wanted to put out some prayers for Katie Harrington for a full and speedy recovery. And I wanted to thank you for what you do with the deep state. Love what you do. The House of Cards is definitely crumbling, but, you know, it takes a long time and more time and more time.
I'm just glad. You know, the IG report corroborated so much of our reporting over the last year. And now the important, harder work even begins, and that's holding those people one by one accountable for the things that they've done.
Right. And that, unfortunately, takes a long time.
It's going to take time. But you know, and I'll need your help and I'll need your patience in all of this.
Well, speaking of time, I predict Maxine Waters will be voted out of office. Her constituents will be reclaiming their lost time on her. And Maxine, guess what? God is on Trump's side.
I mean, how arrogant that she says what she says. Good point. Anyway, thank you, Laura. We appreciate your insight, your call. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Pam Bondi, a victim of this insanity, she will join us and tell her... She will join us and tell us about this confrontation by crazy left-wingers. Also, we have Steve Scalise tonight, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Mark Penn, and Michelle Malkin. We can't do better than this. That's tonight at 9, news you won't get anywhere else. Hannity on the Fox News Channel.